from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White.
You don't necessarily need irons to play golf. I'm just going to hit driver and bump 3 woods in the fairway and then putt.
And Joe DiBiase.
Anyone, I've got a buddy who hits a golf ball like 300 yards, but it goes everywhere.
Well, of course I know him. He's me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. It's Tuesday. I'm back. I was on vacation for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the Finger Lakes with my college friends, which as I was driving here,
nice.
I was doing that thing where I thought, okay, what year was Joe born? You're 28?
29.
You just turned 29?
Yeah, June.
Okay. You're 29.
Just turned?
June, yes. June is just turned.
Just turned?
Yeah.
When does that end?
October for you.
October.
June. 4 months.
Okay.
I mean, within 2 months, June what?
11th.
All right, 2.5 months.
2.5 months.
I just turned 45. That's 2 months and days.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Not even halfway to your half birthday. There you go. You get 3 months to say you just turned.
Until your... Well, actually, it would be past your quarter birthday. Until your third birthday. Your one-third birthday.
Yeah, we're doing thirds instead of fourths?
Yeah, sure.
All right, fair enough.
Because we'll already be past my 1/4 birthday at the October mark, at least.
I'm giving 3 months. So yeah. September 11th is your 3 month?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's when you've no longer just turned 29. Anyway, the reason I asked that is college friends and families, we, just doing the math, we have all been friends now for 27 years.
So almost as long as I've been alive.
I was doing the math like, did I meet these guys before you were born?
Close.
The answer is no. So, yeah, the last 4 years, all my five of us close college friends go and get a house on the lake with all of our families. And, you know, 27 years later, it's not all beer pong and flip cup. Now it's chasing kids around and monster trucks and wiffle ball and all that.
Have the games graduated to, like, what? A cornhole, potentially? More adult games?
What's the most adult game we play? We're not even playing games.
Would Can Jam qualify here?
Not yet. The most adult thing we do is pitch the ball to kids who hit baseballs and wiffle balls. That's really it.
Yeah.
There's boating. There's swimming. There's mm-hmm. the Finger Lakes.
Would be the more adult game, I think.
Lawn darts.
Lawn darts or something.
This place we stay has, like, it'd be a trip back in time for you. It'd be like if I went to the 60s, if you went to this place, in some ways, because it's a lake house and we all get to stay there. And there's a barn there, and they have arcade games in the barn.
Oh,
and one of the arcade games they have in there is NBA Jam.
Nice.
The original NBA Jam.
The arcade version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with the guy, Warriors versus Suns. And you know, the audio is terrible.
Uh-huh.
But you get to play with all these classic NBA players. They've got that. There's like Galaga. You know, all the old, old arcade games. If it had Mortal Kombat, it would be, you know, a complete set. So there's that. Anyway, we did all that, you know. Out on the lake. Got a hot weekend. Fall's just a couple days away, but we still got a hot weekend.
We had big things while you were away. We got our PSLs while we were away. Not the PSLs you might be thinking of. Pumpkin spice lattes, yeah. Okay. And that might have jinxed it because those came out when it was 58 degrees here, and then it is, what's today going to be? Is it going to be 90?
Hot again, yeah.
It's going to be close to 90 at least.
88 degrees is the high I'm looking at.
Whew.
Yeah.
Yep.
80s pretty much through the week.
So
a lot of 80s.
It got warm. Pretty nice, though, to be for a Finger Lake weekend. Was it on the water?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Then right on the water.
Perfect temperature, I would think.
Yeah, no complaints, really. Saw the final Bills preseason game. Saw a lot of final preseason games.
Did you all huddle around and watch it together?
No, I did not subject other people to that. I would never have subjected other people to preseason games.
Well, also, the college football game was happening at that same time anyway. So if you were going to do that, like when I had a similar weekend, no Lake, though, Ellicottville, we huddled around and watched Georgia Tech and Florida State, and we're checking in on the Bills game.
Yeah.
Which felt appropriate.
Yeah.
Watch the first college football. It was good, too. It was a good game. Close the whole way.
What will be remembered from that final Bills game?
Will we remember the quarterbacks?
Anthony Brown.
He goes on a list.
He plays as trivia. Well as humanly possible.
Yeah, I forgot the yardage, but 11 of 12?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming. This game is really important. Well, hey, he got it on film for the rest of the league.
And the end of the game, of course. Well, it was important because you saw what Sean McDermott did at the end of the game?
Mm-hmm.
Calling two timeouts after the Panthers kneeled the ball to make them run one more play with 20 seconds left. The gall. I still can't believe that. I still can't believe that he called those two timeouts. It's amazing that he called those two timeouts. Canales, even after the game, like, definitely with a smirk. They were chummy about it. But, like, what was happening there at the end of the game? Maybe. They had a little talk.
Are we sure McDermott's not paid hourly? Maybe he is. Maybe he's got a rate. During those games, you know, extend those games. Anyway, hey, good morning. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Roster cut down day in the NFL, which means cuts and then more cuts and practice squads and player movement and cuts and practice squad. I like to call this Ruvell Martin Day. It's a day where Ruvell Martin got cut by the Bills and brought back and then cut and then brought back like seven times. Former Bills wide receiver Ruvell Martin, by the way. So you've got cuts coming. You've got potential trades, I guess. There's some names out there as trade candidates. Tim Patrick of the Broncos is at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. There's a Viking safety, Lewis Seen, who might be traded.
Aren't these trades like, hey, we're going to cut this guy?
Yeah.
If anyone out there wants to give us a sixth.
Or a seventh.
Or a seventh, then we're willing to do it.
Malik Willis went for a seventh.
Malik Willis went for a seventh, yeah.
I saw some Bills fans upset that the Bills didn't do that, trading a seventh-round pick for Malik Willis, who goes from Tennessee to Green Bay. All right, they've got a backup quarterback, I guess. So we'll see movement today, whether it's big trades, small trades, probably small-time trades. You know, these are roster-tweaking days.
Yes.
Rarely is there a big kind of move here. The closest is
Ayuk.
You know what? Ayuk, but Ayuk's a big trade that we'll see. I want to know, I got to look at this now. When the day the Bills traded for Lawyer Malloy, I'm going to look that up. It's later in the season.
They traded for him? He wasn't cut by the Patriots?
Yeah, okay, you're probably right. I'm probably remembering that incorrectly. He was cut, and the Bills signed him the week of the opener. Yeah, he declined to take a pay cut on September 2nd, and they cut him. And the Bills signed him on September 3rd, and then in their very first game, 5 days after his release, he's on the roster and on the Bills. Wow. So he's cut by the Patriots on the 2nd and joins the Bills, and he plays on the 7th, and of course the Bills win that game 31-0, and that season was great. Everyone remembers everything about that season as being perfect all the way through. So that's a very, very late one. How about that? September 2nd.
Yeah.
Will not take a pay cut. You're cut.
After all of training camp and preseason.
Yeah. And the quote here, I found a quote on it. Belichick talking about releasing Lawyer Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the day nobody's happy about. This isn't the way we wanted this story to end. This is the hardest player I've ever that I've had to release. It was the hardest situation I've had to go through like this here or anywhere else. Wow. Now, that's 2003. So who knows if Belichick
he was 30% into his career.
Yeah, right.
Not even.
Right. So Lawyer Malloy, alongside Izell Reese at safety and Nate Clements and Antoine Winfield in the defensive backfield. Good group.
I would take a modern day version of Lawyer Malloy today getting cut and then the Bills chasing after him, right?
Well, that might be Lewis Seen. I mean, he's probably not thought of as well as Lawyer Malloy, but
no, right?
Safety out of Minnesota. Here's a fun question to consider. I saw a piece already. So Lewis Seen, if I remember, is a Georgia safety, 2022 NFL draft. Like, this is a guy that was drafted not long ago, first round pick. And if he is moved, then, I mean, a first round pick, 2022, a safety that could help this team. I don't know. The Bills probably feel like they're fine at safety if they're healthy.
Is he the safety equivalent of Jahan Dotson, perhaps?
That might be right.
He's been injured, though. I don't know about, like, Dotson's been on the field, and it just hasn't, the production hasn't always been there.
Yeah.
Seen has played 10 games in two seasons. He, just a lot of time.
Seen says he's on the roster bubble. He wants to go to a contender. Super Bowl contender would matter to him.
Yeah. By the way, sorry, he's been active for 10 games. He's played 10 snaps in his NFL career at on defense.
Yeah.
100 on special teams. He's played 10 snaps on defense.
So is
he wants to go to a Super Bowl contender?
You say Dotson. Is this the Kyir Elam of safeties?
This might be closer to that. I mean, it's less than that even. Right? Elam's played in the playoffs.
Right.
Let alone 10 snaps.
Was he supposed to play, or did he play because somebody else got hurt? You know, here's a first-round pick safety in 2022 that just has not played.
He just hasn't been on the field. Yep.
I don't know if he's the type of safety the Bills like. It's just a name.
Lewis, it would be a lottery ticket, right? Like, sure. Hey, let's bring him in. He's not playing right away, right? Like,
right.
No experience in the league, doesn't know the system. It would be, hey, maybe he's developed by the second half of the year. But, yeah, it doesn't feel like, unless they want to change out their, sub out their depth, maybe. Like, if they, but do we, it's safety. Do we think they're doing that? They have three guys that I think they all like that are veterans. And then Damar Hamlin's been kind of, been the de facto number one safety for a lot of the offseason. He's probably not right now, but they're not moving on from him either, I don't think.
Yeah. I'm not one to profess to know too much about this guy, but just a name. It's out there.
If they're signing a safety at some point, it's going to be Micah Hyde. That's my guess.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he's, of course, a favorite in there. So I found an NFL piece. Players likely to be traded. It's Taylor Heinicke and Lewis Cine and Tim Patrick of the Broncos.
Okay.
A good receiver who has missed two straight seasons with horrible injuries.
Yep.
Like, Tim Patrick has had the Tre'Davious White route right now, where he missed basically two full years. And, you know, you were good, but sorry, you got hurt, and then you came back, and you got hurt again.
Yep. And has, what's weird about that one, though, is, like, I saw some of the fantasy analysts reacting to this on social media when this came out yesterday. Like, wait a minute, he's been acting as the number two receiver all offseason. He's reportedly been impressive, like almost stunningly so. Like, this guy's moving really well for someone that has had back-to-back major injuries. And he had done nothing I'd seen that said, oh yeah, they shouldn't be their number two, to suddenly, boom, he's not even on the team.
Yeah.
He's going to get cut, potentially?
Could be cut. Maybe that's because Troy Franklin's doing really well. They have Marvin Mims, Cortland Sutton.
They have a lot of young guys. And also, Patrick is before Sean Payton, so Payton might just want his own guys at this point.
Yeah.
He has a $7 million cap hit for the Broncos.
Well,
that's, I think, not, it would be, his base salary is $1.1 million. So I think the team getting him would not be on the hook for nearly as much. But that's why Denver, I think they want to shave a couple million bucks, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And do something else with it.
So whether it's Tim Patrick, I don't think that's exactly likely. If you wanted Juju Smith-Schuster, he has re-signed with the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted CeeDee Lamb, you guys talk about that yesterday?
I
heard a caller call in about trading for CeeDee Lamb.
I don't think... You mean like the news of him signing or trading for him?
Well, of course, that's gone now that he's signed.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought I heard a call one of the days I was off about trading for CeeDee
Lamb. That might have been on Friday. Okay. I think that they blend together. I think there was a CeeDee Lamb call.
Okay.
Yeah.
As always, what was going to happen with Dallas? Of course, they were going to sign one of the best receivers in football to a monster contract.
Yeah.
So they've done that. There's another name I was going to mention, a receiver. Oh, I'm sorry. John Mechie. So John Mechie, former Alabama receiver in Houston, he's likely to be traded. Jordan Schultz had this tweet, NFL reporter Jordan Schultz, that the Houston Texans might be looking to trade John Mechie because they have a plethora of receivers. I mean, the Texans go Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Steph Diggs, Noah Brown.
Robert Woods. It just keeps going.
Yeah.
Just keeps going.
So due to their plethora of receivers, John Mechie could get traded. He's the guy that missed a full season with
leukemia,
yes,
I think.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So another name.
They also have Quintez Cephas, by the way.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show, Quintez Cephas.
Yeah.
He was a second-round pick that missed a full year, and then last year had 30 targets but wasn't really on the field all that often.
So here's where I land on all these receivers. Because also, while I was gone, Jahan Dotson got traded for a modest fee.
Yep.
It was a third to a fifth pick slide and 2/7. That's about the price the Bills paid for Rasul Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was a pick slide. I'm not upset that they don't trade for any of these guys. But it's for a reason. It's not because I don't think they'd make them better. Like, Jahan Dotson would make this team. I don't think there's any doubt. He would make this team.
Yeah.
And Tim Patrick, if he's healthy, would make this team. The problem I run into when it comes to trading for any of these guys, just receiver. This isn't necessarily every other position, but this is receiver. I don't want anyone in the room to convince them to not chase anything bigger. Mm-hmm. Ran out to fall in love with Tim Patrick, had a nice month and a half, so now we don't need to draft a guy. Now, I know that's moving on to the future, and I'm good with where they are now. They've got a couple of different lottery tickets that could develop into something, whether that's Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman. Like, we're good. Whatever. We'll see how this goes. It's definitely an underwhelming group on paper, but the breakout potential does exist. And I'm ready to let those guys decide if it's worth investing down the road, but I don't need necessarily to spend an asset on Jahan Dotson, right? For what? For,
well, haven't
another
the,
guy?
Past the top couple guys, haven't the other lottery tickets they brought in all kind of gone?
Fizzled out.
Right, like Claypool didn't happen at all. He just never got on the practice field. And Valdez Scantling hasn't given you any sort
and
of confidence.
You want to talk Hamler or Isabella. All these lottery tickets or scratch-off tickets, whatever you want to refer to them as, they all, you know how it works. The Mega Millions is $10 billion tonight. You buy a mm-hmm. ticket and you start thinking like, man, when I win this thing, it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the numbers come up, you're like, all right, well, I didn't win.
Right.
That's a lot of these guys. Like. That was our conversation about Claypool. Hey, I mean, come on. Two big seasons in his first 2 years. This could really turn into something. Then, no, that's not. It didn't happen. Okay. Who's surprised? So should the Bills be chasing that again?
Well, because you're kind of left two right now with, like, I know this is the back end of the roster, but I don't. Are we just assuming Valdez Scantling is on the team right now? Because 2 weeks ago, like when he got hurt, it was a conversation of whether he was going to make the team. And then he got hurt, and suddenly, oh, no, he's solid. He's on. Maybe he was the whole time. I don't know. Or maybe it's just more, again, like we're talking, like there's nobody that's really grabbed it, right? Like,
no.
Shavers is going to make it because he's had a nice camp, but also kind of by default, isn't he? Like, I'm kind of back to the receiver room where, like, I see these Dotsons and these Patricks. I don't need to give up an asset for them. You know, maybe if somebody gets cut today, that would be more interesting. I feel like I'm back to where I've been, where I'm an injury away from my Jake Kumerow, Trent Sherfield type from being a starting receiver on this team. I feel like the depth of this receiver core is right back to where it has been the last 2 years, which is it's really thin.
Yeah.
Right now, Tyrell Shavers is even an injury away. Isn't he on the field for some snaps week one on offense?
It looks that way.
So I'm feeling like they're pretty thin at that position right now.
803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to join us on this, preseason is over, and today is NFL cut day, down to the final, I mean, not final 53. I'm going to stop myself, or try to stop myself every time I say final 53, because they'll have
Be different tomorrow.
It'll change in an hour.
They'll cut Reed Ferguson, right? And then you'll get immediate, make sure, everyone's going to point out right away, but guys, they didn't just cut Reed, he'll be back tomorrow, right? He's going to hang out in the parking lot.
By the way, if we're doing that, I don't know that we can call him the longest tenured Bill. You get cut every year and then come back.
Interesting. He spends a day every year not on the Bills.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think he's the longest tenured Bill.
Most consecutive seasons as a Bill. I'll give you that, Reed Ferguson.
I don't know if they've done that with him every year, by the way. Maybe it was only like once or twice. But
that might be right. Well, Sal will give us the latest coming up at 7 on maybe what to expect today. There's a new rule when it comes to emergency quarterbacks and how that all works. Okay. Whatever. I've got a list for you. ESPN analysts have predicted the top 100 players for 2024. This is not... this is predicting the top.
This is not the top 100. Right. This is predicting the next top 100.
Who will be the next top 100, which amazing. I appreciate.
Football content's amazing.
It really is.
Never ends.
I appreciate that, though. The next top 100, we can talk about how many Bills make the list. How many Bills are predicted to make the NFL's top 100? CeeDee Lamb signs, Brandon Ayuk, not yet. And now Jamar Chase is back end practicing.
And now it feels like the Trent Williams holdout in San Francisco is more real than ever, because he is also someone that in the past has proven like he'll go all the way here.
And he will sit out.
So the Niners have things to figure out. They have two star players that are not at their practices right now that I think they'll both end up in the building, but they better... I mean, they're huge players. Are they not their two best offensive players?
They probably are.
I mean, they have a lot of good ones.
Yeah, they do. They
there might not be a lot of difference between those two and the others, but I feel like those are their two best offensive players that are just not in the building right now.
That's probably right. And they're still pretty good. I mean, Purdy's pretty good. I'm starting to come around on Purdy. A lot of people seem to be.
All the Commanders fans and people think that the Commanders are making a move. They're back in it because they traded Dotson.
Okay.
And Ayuk.
Maybe they are.
There was Ayuk and Jaden Daniels, TikToks, right, throughout the offseason.
Yeah. The Patriots have not named a starting quarterback. Gerard Mayo said that Drake May outplayed Jacoby Brissett.
Isn't that kind of naming him?
Kind of. Also, Brissett got hurt in the preseason finale.
Yeah.
We'll see.
He said it's a true competition. That being said, or whatever the, I want to get the exact phrase right, but he said basically that it's a true competition and Drake May outplayed Jacoby. I think that's the coach.
That's what it's supposed to mean.
If you don't then name him the starting quarterback.
But what are you doing?
What do you look like if you don't do it?
Busy day in the NFL. So join us if you'd like. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jeremy and Joe and your phone calls. We'll get to PJ in Buffalo to lead us off. PJ, hello.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Morning.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. So I went to a couple red and blue practices, and at the end of each practice, I saw Justin Shorter on the jug machine, and I was kind of disappointed this preseason because he didn't really show up that much.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to talk about like Frank Gore Jr. if he's going to make the roster and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I don't think Frank Gore Jr. makes the roster. I think they have their three running backs,
even though he was raked. PFF graded him the best running back of the preseason in his performance in game three.
Okay,
but he's probably not going to make the roster.
Shorter, just never. I never saw anything.
No,
I don't even know when we were at training camp if I really ever like. He just never. He's big. He's tall. Looks athletic, and I just never. I feel like I've never seen him catch a football, even though I know I.
The thing I think you would say about Shorter is you see a former number one ranked prospect at the position coming out of high school. Right,
he was the number one
receiver, number one recruit.
Yep,
and he does not play to his size or body type. He just. There's not really anything that happens. There's nothing really memorable. I mean, it's been 2 years now, and nothing's there.
I don't even know if I like in these preseason games. I'm not even seeing much.
Well,
he had two catches in the preseason.
So did Keon. Keon Coleman. I mean, it doesn't mean there's nothing there for Keon Coleman.
Fair.
What do we really get out of the preseason? Right. Okay. Let's also try that on, which is this. Number one, they came out mostly healthy-ish.
But yeah, who do they lose in preseason games? They lost Valdes-Scantling.
Sure, but the point is, if I asked you, what are your takeaways from the preseason? Number one is always health.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad.
Yep.
What's number two? What is the number two preseason takeaway for the Buffalo Bills in 2024? That their backup quarterback is no good? You got that last year, too, and the backup quarterback stayed on the roster. Like Kyle Allen did not have a good preseason last year.
Yeah.
Number one is health. Boom. Put that aside. Other than the state of their health, what's the takeaway from the Bills preseason? Because, maybe I'll save this for when we get back. I will, in fact, do that. Preseason, I'm here to tell you the preseason pledge all day. Every day. All day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
There might be one exception.
Okay.
There might be one exception. There is a statistic about the preseason that is unbeaten in the last 16 years. One common thread in the preseason in the last 16 years. It's kind of like, just to tease a little bit, you know how we had that an NFL team has gone from worst to first for 21 straight years?
Sure. Or how there hasn't been a back-to-back NFC East champion in like 20 years?
Yes. Yeah. And how up until 2 years ago, one of the teams that made the Final Four misses the playoffs for 22 straight years.
Huh.
Like there are these big sweeping NFL trends, and there's one on the preseason.
Okay.
So we'll talk about the Bills takeaway, and I'll get you this stat. because it means there's a team that's going to the playoffs based on their preseason.
Would Drake May play if Jacoby's not available?
I would like to sit here and say 100%. He's our second best quarterback on our roster right now. Next question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure until I watch the film.
Who's the second best quarterback on the roster right now?
He said Drake May.
Are you sure about that? Drake May's the second best?
He said that after his radio interview where he said that Drake May has outplayed Jacoby.
So the second best quarterback outplayed the first best quarterback is what he said. Okay.
Also, Drake May has looked awesome. He's covering. He's covering his butt there.
I saw Benjamin Solak of ESPN, formerly The Ringer, now ESPN, right?
Yeah.
I saw him say something about Drake May, and a response to that, and I responded to that. It's a long way to get to. Like, I was in a conversation online, which if these are actual conversations or not, just, you know, shouting into the void. That I watch a lot of Josh Allen, and I think there are elements, keyword here, there are elements of Josh Allen's game in Drake May. If I was a Patriots fan, I'd be excited that I don't know the ceiling's going to get that high, pretty high ceiling to get to, but he is athletic enough. He can throw on the run. Mm-hmm. He might not be as flashy as some of the very best at it, but the guy can run.
I mentioned this yesterday. There was a 3rd and 14 in that preseason game where he got to like 7 yards away and kicked it into an extra gear that if you've never watched him play before, and I've watched a little of him and I was still surprised, you wouldn't have thought this guy has that gear. He shoots forward and gets the first down. You don't think he has that speed. I mean, it's possible in like a year we're thinking he's going to be the second best quarterback in this division for a long time.
Rodgers retires. It's possible.
Yeah.
I think there are elements there. And maybe I got Drake May pilled when I watched. There's a highlight package of him running at North Carolina, and it's set to Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched that and thought, like, this guy can run.
Yeah. Well, the take right now that I'm seeing a lot of out of New England, Ben Volen had this yesterday, and I saw others too, that is, okay, yes, Drake May has beaten out Jacoby Brissett. He is definitely the best quarterback on this roster. You can't put him on the game. You can't put him in the game. He's gonna get murdered. The offensive line can't block. The receivers are all rookies or are not great veterans. The tight end's over the hill. The coordinator hasn't called plays in 15 years. Like, basically, it's okay. Sure, he earned the job, but don't throw him to the wolves. Which I would say I don't care about that. I would just put him in. Put him in.
The fun part of that is
because that's to say, within a year you're going to fix it all. How long are you going to wait?
The concern is, and this is maybe unscientific, the concern is you batter him around enough that you put in bad habits that then you have to work out of him. And he's not prepared. It's what the claim would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's crazy. The thing I would say about Drake May that's fun is I think there's a good quarterback there. And if he doesn't turn out to be good, that's New England's fault, and that feels good too.
Yes.
So I get a win-win.
Yeah,
I think May might be good, and if he's good, then all right. Well, I get to be right about that. And if he's wrong, it's New England's fault, and that's a win for me as well.
But the lose part of that is that New England would find themselves another franchise quarterback, which I would like them to go through 15, 20 years of not doing that.
But then again, you know, they could find a franchise quarterback that's... I don't want to say Ryan Tannehill was a franchise quarterback, but you could get to a spot where you're
a middle of the road guy.
Yeah, you're comfortable with a guy for 6 years.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, sure.
They don't even deserve a Kirk Cousins. You had Brady for 25 years. If the law of averages says that they should find nothing for the next 30.
So I teased a preseason stat, and we're wrapping the preseason here. Here's the preseason stat for you. It's kind of is it a stat of the day? Sure, let's do it.
All right, stat of the day.
I've got multiple stats of the day for you if you want it. But question we're asking you is, all right, takeaways on the preseason. Takeaway number one is usually injuries. For the Bills, could be worse, could be better, whatever. What's your second takeaway on the preseason on these Bills? 803-0550. Here's one. Over the past 15 years, every team with a preseason point differential of plus 60 or more has made the playoffs. And two have won the Super Bowl. So if you play your preseason games and get a point differential of plus 60 or more, one thing that's important to note here, most of those 15 years, there were four games.
Right.
Now there are
right.
three.
There are three.
Who did that this year? Who had...
Who had a great preseason?
I got to be honest, I don't know if they're the only team that did it, because the stat of the day is about this team. I'll just give you the answer.
Okay.
The Bears.
Okay.
The Bears were a plus 68.
They played four games.
Every single team, there you go, with a preseason point differential of plus 60 or higher has made the playoffs in the last 15 years.
Okay.
Bears to the playoffs.
They beat... Yeah, they needed the four. They won all four. They won the first... Well, I guess not. The Hall of Fame game, they only won by 4 points. So this would have been true... What were they? Plus 68?
Plus 68.
Okay, so it still would have been true if they hadn't played the Hall of Fame game. Because they were plus 64 in the other three.
And again, over the 15 years, most of those teams would have been four-game teams.
I don't think this doesn't matter because these teams are not going as hard. It's more about the point differential point. Do you know the three teams that they beat by plus 64?
The Bills.
Actually, I'll include the Hall of Fame game. Who are the four teams that they were plus 68 against?
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
It's all good teams, right? It is. Texans, Bills.
Texans, Bills.
Bengals.
Bengals.
And I don't know the fourth one.
Chiefs. They went Texans, Bills, Bengals, Chiefs. They beat the best four teams in the AFC.
This morning on ESPN.
In the Super Bowl. Remember that.
ESPN this morning. Are the Bears a dynasty? 803-0550.
I'd bet them to make the playoffs. Sure.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, sure. I'd bet them to make the playoffs. I don't know if I'd do it because of that, but that is interesting that there's not even a single team.
Right.
Pittsburgh wasn't plus 60 last year?
I guess not.
Okay.
Well, if they were, they made the playoffs.
Right. They would have.
They came here and they lost here. 803-0550. Butch on the east side before the break. Hey, Butch. Butch, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get started, I love MSG. I love WGR and the fans. I definitely love you guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call. I really wanted to jump into something. Today is a special day to a point where you're going to find that you're evaluating, do they like talent or do they like friendship? The reason why I brought that is this. Ty Johnson served his purpose last year when he came in when we needed somebody. And he did a hell of a job. He did a hell of a job. I'm not going to shoot him down. But this time, Frank Gore Sr., told Brandon Bean a long time ago that my son is going to be something special that you need to watch. And he showed that he was, regardless of how he got on our team based off a free agency or a late pick, it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is talent is here. The Bills have to make a decision today. Do you want talent or do you want friendship? You could keep Ty Johnson if you want to and Reggie Gillum if you want to, based off friendship. But if you want talent, you would keep Frank Gore along with your running backs that you have. Only reason you would keep Ray is because you drafted him in the third round. But Frank Gore Junior, it's going to be something special. That's one. Number two is this. Now, on the waiver wire, as you guys said earlier today, you know, Malik Willis went for a seventh-round pick out of Tennessee. Okay. And I'm probably one of the other people that's going to say, wow, you know, Buffalo could have looked into that. But at the same time, I know Brandon Bean believes in a combine. And if he believes in a combine, he knew he dropped the ball during the draft based off Trubisky friendship with Josh Allen, based off the other guy who came from Kansas City, who was with Mahomes, who became friends with Josh Allen, that he trusted that we had a good quarterback group in that room because they were golf buddies. Now, guess what? We found out that stuff don't work no more. We had to bring two guys in the last week, right before one preseason game, just to get through the game because we couldn't play our star. Now we got to understand, we got to have somebody that we can build through that. I really believe, this is me personally, Jay. This is me personally now.
All right.
Okay. That I believe that in New England, that situation you were speaking about, Brissett and Max, I concur with New England not to play the guy because offensive line is horrible. But their backups, I believe Joe Milton III might get released. And I hope that the Bills pick up him. Not to bring him as a backup, bring him as a third quarterback to develop him. Now, those are my two people. Joe Andrews is no joke. So what? He went to Bryant and went to UB and he's from Lancaster. Who cares about that? He's a player.
Maybe. Maybe Butch. We'll get a couple. I want to react to a bunch of things here.
Yeah.
On Frank Gore Jr. versus Ty Johnson. You know, when you said...
Did you do the same thing I just did?
What?
I searched their RAS scores.
I did exactly that.
Okay.
I did exactly
that. Same wavelength there.
Frank Gore Jr. is not the athlete to make this team, period. Like, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills, we'll talk to him coming up on... Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And his breakdown of Frank Gore Jr. is there's a lot to like there. He's just not fast enough.
Vision, and, right? Like, vision, he's got it. Yep, but
he's not an athlete. He's not a good enough athlete. You know, when you said, are they going to do friendships over talent, I thought you're going at MVS.
Like, I thought he was going the other way with Frank Gore Jr.
Me
I
too.
Thought he was saying that they would keep Frank Gore because he's Frank Gore's son.
Right.
And because of
just
that.
Of the athleticism score at this year's combine,
yeah,
Frank Gore Jr. was the 29th running back.
Yeah.
At this year's combine, 29th.
Yeah, out of 10
athletic score.
Out of 10, he was a 0.6.
Yeah. Not athletic.
You
enough.
Know what Ty Johnson was out of 10?
Is he a 9?
9.75.
Yeah. The Bills,
that was 4 years ago.
But the Bills take RAS score, guys, and Frank Gore Jr. is not one. You know, they're going to say, thanks for what you did in the preseason here, but he just doesn't have the speed. He got to open space, got caught by a linebacker.
Yeah.
You know.
Practice squad, maybe.
Yeah. He doesn't have it from an athleticism standpoint. That's the report on him.
Yeah. Andreessen, I think, is... I don't know. He's gonna make this. I think he's making this team today.
I think he might. Yeah, I think he's got a look.
They already cut Deion Jones. They cut one linebacker, right? And a lot of the other ones haven't been available. Nick Morrow is the veteran guy, and he hadn't been available until this week. And then Baylon Specter is still injured, and he has been injured before. He was injured. He would have played the Chief game. Part of the reason AJ Klein plays that game, I think Specter gets hurt the week before.
Yeah.
So he's always injured. And I don't know, like, I hear good things about him a lot from Sal and others, but he was a 7th-round pick that hasn't been on the field much and can't really stay healthy. So what, I don't know, what are you really losing by deciding Andreessen over him?
The NFL, on the quarterback conversation, like, I don't know that I want the Bills to trade for any quarterback. How would they ever develop a guy? I guess they would develop a guy if he's a practice squad, because when you're the second-string quarterback, you don't get reps.
Right.
So you need a quarterback to run the scout team and develop him. That is not a terrible idea to me at all. This gets to another conversation we have from time to time, which I think is the backup quarterback's job, maybe in most places, is to be the starter's friend and be a coach in the room. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the Bills continue to bring guys in that Josh Allen knows. And Allen's one of his best friends. How do you get the job? And
yep.
Trubisky was here 2 years ago, went elsewhere, wasn't good, came back. He's just got the job. He doesn't really have to be good.
Well, Taylor Heineke's a 7 handicap. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, that might help.
That might help.
I mean, 7's, that's good.
But what's Josh? What's the quarter? What's Allen?
Isn't
he about a 7?
I want to see the Jin.
Line it up. Line it up. Get him the same. They'll be perfect for each other. Same handicap and everything. And when New England, by the way, I think. If you're thinking about a quarterback from New England that might be a better idea than Milton as the number two, Bailey Zappi's probably getting cut today. So I don't know. But right now, is Ben DiNucci friends with Josh Allen?
Great question.
Isn't he right now your number two? It depends on Trubisky. But like today we're going to find out, right? Is he going to be placed on IR? Are they going to... Sal brought up this scenario where they keep Trubisky on the active roster and DiNucci on the practice squad, and then they just wait until Trubisky's back and they keep elevating DiNucci every week to be the backup, but he's not actually on the 53-man roster. So they could do that, but I wouldn't be stunned if they made a move on somebody today. If Zappi becomes available, Wolford got cut, if Heineke gets freed up, I could see that.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Thanks, Butch, for the phone call. You can give us a ring. Sal, coming up at 7 o'clock. It is final 53 day. Not so final. 53 day on WGR.
I'm coming up with a game to play a little bit later on. I'm still working on it. You want to know the name of it?
Yeah.
It's called the Jordan Matthews game.
Oh, yes. Holy cow. Let me tell you, I had a moment over the weekend when I read, or whatever, the name actually came up. Matthews.
Yeah.
Former, you know what? This guy might be a good idea, wide receiver for the Bills. Like, he probably won't be, and he wasn't.
Was he their number one receiver for a minute?
I don't know.
Did we ever think of him that way?
We probably did, right? Like, his 3 years before the Bills, all 100-plus targets, 872 yards, 997 yards, 804 yards, and then he got to the Bills and it was all over.
It was over fast. He was hurt a bunch. And then he switched to tight end.
That's what he was playing on Saturday.
Think of him as a tight end.
How many Bills... Kelvin Benjamin also switched to tight end. How many Bills receivers from those years switched to tight end?
And now they're going the other way. We got a tight end, but think of him as a receiver. Although he's pretty good, it seems. You know what? I waited 53 minutes. Can I get a snark cannon? You got the cannon ready?
Ooh.
Let's get the snark cannon. I got some snark for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we getting snarky about?
You know, hey. You know, bring out the cannon. You know, Joe, did you see that the Kansas City Chiefs paid Creed Humphrey?
I did
see
that. Big
money for Creed Humphrey.
Yeah.
They made him the highest paid center in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And I just think that it's not exactly ideal. Now opposing teams will know who their best offensive lineman is. You don't want to do that. Now they know that guy's good.
Yep.
Sorry, I need my snark.
Yep.
Same with CeeDee Lamb. Do that too. Oh, now they're going to know.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
It's fine. Creed Humphrey. He's good.
Yeah.
He's really good. I did read an article.
It's great.
Why the Chiefs are going all in on offense, and it's for a shot at history. There's this big, long piece. Front Office Sports might have written it. Oh, they're going in. Like, sure.
To win three in a row?
Yeah. They're just paying.
They're
paying NFL players. That's
right.
That's what NFL teams do. Anyway.
Was that, please tell me that wasn't about them signing Juju Smith-Schuster.
No.
They're going all in.
He was good for them when he was there. He scored a touchdown on the Bills.
He had 100 targets that year. His knee might be
right. Maybe
sent
I shouldn't,
shot,
I shouldn't maybe say he was good, but...
He spun away from the Bills and had like a long
yak touchdown. Yeah, you did. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sal, when we return, I'm going to get the emergency third quarterback rule that was vetoed, where that stands. The chain gang is staying. There will be no Hawkeye technology in the NFL this year. And roster cuts, trade scenarios, all coming up. Sal joins us next here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.